Okay, so thank you for joining us for the Ascendant presentation. My name is Dan Binder, in case anybody doesn't know who I am. I'm with Jefferies, cover Broadline and Hardline Retail. Very pleased to have Earl Shanks, Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer of Ascendant. Earl's going to run through a presentation, and then we'll open up to Q&A. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan. Thank you all very much for coming. I appreciate your time this afternoon. I'll just take you through a quick version of Ascendant at a high level, and then look for Q&A afterwards. The forward-looking statement I'm sure you've all seen before, so I don't intend to review in detail. We are a value-added wholesaler. That is what we do across a variety of marketplaces. We were formed by a series of acquisitions over many, many years. Down in the lower left-hand side of the chart, as you're looking at it, are the brands that we have historically gone to market with. The United Stationers brand, probably a name you're more likely to know, ORS NASCO, our industrial brand, Medco, our automotive brand, and Legas, the brand we used in the Jansen and break room space over the years. About a year ago this time, we changed the name, so rebranded the company to Ascendant. At about the same time, by the way, our previous CEO was recruited away, and our new CEO came off the board. Bob Akin is the CEO today. Bob had previously run U.S. Foods, and so Bob stepped into the CEO role from the board, and I'll talk as I go through about some of the key changes that have happened along the way as a result. This is a quick look at the products that we sell. Our largest category, the office product space, Jansen break room space, industrial and automotive. Each of these four big categories have more than $100 billion of market value at wholesale that goes to the market. It doesn't all go through wholesalers. In fact, most of it does not go through wholesalers. But the markets themselves are quite large in terms of what we're addressing. In particular, our office products business is about $2.9 billion of our revenue. It's about 55% of our total revenue. We have seen in this space a secular decline for the last several years at about a 3-5% clip. Again, that's a secular decline against the $100 billion plus size of the market. That we would expect or do expect that decline to continue for a while at this point, largely driven by just the change in people's usage of office products. The market tends to be consolidating, and our customer set tends to be consolidating. The good news for us is that we are largely aligned with the largest dealers that are in the space, and they're the ones that are doing the consolidating. And so as they win in the marketplace, that supports our growth. So that's why we're aligned with those dealers. We expect that our performance can outrun the secular decline in the marketplace by a couple of points a year, and certainly that's how we started this year with about 4% revenue growth in the office product space in the first quarter of this year. So we were very pleased with that outcome. So an interesting space, a number of challenges because of the secular decline, but there are opportunities to win because of the trends in the underlying marketplace and the trends of the dealers that are winning in the marketplace that we sell to. The Jansen business, Jansen and break room, is about $1.5 billion of our revenue. Together with office products, we think of this as our core businesses. And these two businesses, office products and Jansen, are run off of a common operating platform, and we deliver to our customers off a common set of warehouses across the country. So for the products in both spaces, office products and Jansen, we are able to deliver to 90% of the country on a next-day basis for the products that we're selling. Again, this is about 28% of our revenue. We expect, from a secular standpoint, this business is a GDP or GDP-plus kind of business in terms of what its growth rate potential is. The market is very fragmented, and it's the players that are winning in this space are the players that have the right digital capabilities, and the right convenience capabilities in terms of being able to deliver a product. And so we think we're well positioned here. One of the most important things we've done with this business, though, is to put it onto our common platform to get to the point that I described a minute ago, whereby from 45 different warehouses around the country, we can ship to our customers with one order, one shipment, one invoice, any of the products in Office Products or Jansen. And so that's, as our customers are thinking about how trying to grow and how they're going to grow, they think about that by saying, let me expand my categories, let me expand my offerings, and we've made that easier for them to do with our common platform. Our industrial business is our most cyclical business. We've certainly experienced that in the past 18 months. A big chunk of this business was tied to the energy space. This is the business that was formerly known or is known as ORS. ORS stands for Oklahoma Rig and Supply. Tells you a lot about where the business is from. Not quite $600 million in revenue and about 11% of our total revenue. We think on a longer term basis, this is a GDP plus growth rate business. We think, given what we see in the rig counts in the U.S. at the moment, that this is somewhere near the bottom of the cycle at the moment for us in this business. It's a very fragmented marketplace. We're one of the few pure wholesalers out there in this space. We are looking with this business. We know the energy business is what it is, and the declines that we've faced in this, double-digit declines we faced in the last year in this space, are kind of what the market's allowed. But as we think of the product set that we have and what's in our warehouses and what's in our capabilities, one of the things that we believe is true about this space is that there are more customers out there that we have not approached, whether they're governments or e-tailers or otherwise, that need the kind of products that we sell. And so we have pivoted our sales efforts here to expand the customer base against our existing asset base. And so that's showing some early positive signs. We would expect this business later this year, at the end of the year, to come back to a growth mode after we've lapped some of the oil declines. Our automotive business, this is the business that has the strongest secular trends behind it. Not quite $300 million in revenue last year, about 6% of our total revenue. And there's a secular trend. In this space, we sell automotive tools and consumables to the aftermarket. And there's a secular trend that's causing this space to grow because of miles driven, older cars, new technology in the automotive space, and the move away from do-it-yourself to do-it-for-me. There has been an opportunity in this space. I think if you look at our business, the business that we bought, and we bought into this business about 2 years ago, it had a double-digit growth rate over about a five-year period that it was driving because of the trends that were in the business. We believe, from a secular standpoint, the trends are still positive, that this will be kind of mid-single-digit growth rates when we look at where the potential is. And again, it's very good secular trends in the business that we see helping us. So this is a slide that I like to describe why we exist. So 1,600 manufacturers, 180,000 products. How do we get those products to 30,000 resellers? So that's the space we sit in the middle, and how we really, what we really drive in terms of to the marketplace and the value that's out there. When you look at the specific channels that we sell to, we've categorized the channels, our independent retailers, the e-tailers, and national accounts. Let me start on the right-hand side of this for you, the look at the national accounts. That is, for us as we disclose it, Staples and Depot. And so we are supporting them on their long-tail needs in the Jansen space and the office product space. And so, we've got a good relationship with both of them. At Staples, we are the first call provider for them with both Office Products and Jansen. At Office Depot, we're second call on Office Products and first call on Jansen. In the e-tailer space, this is a space that has grown for us and is growing at a double-digit rate, where we support most of the big e-tailers that sell into this space. We've got examples here of Costco and Sam's Club and Walmart, just three of many that we support, where they need the product delivered on a next day basis, and they can put the order to us, and we can put it through our warehouses and deliver it to them on that basis across our product set. And then, likewise, the independent resellers, this is the bread and butter of how the business has got built. The largest of these, a name, if you're on the East Coast, you likely know, is WB Mason. They are our largest customer last year, I think, about 12% of revenue, and I think we are their largest supplier. So we've got a very good relationship there. These are the independents that are growing in the marketplace, and certainly a key part of driving our success. Why we win in the marketplace? These three reasons are at some level table stakes. We've got category and item breadth. We think it's better than our competition, but that's core to what we do. Our ability to deliver next day to 90% of the U.S., very important. The quality of what we deliver, the quality of delivering the right thing in the right place at the right time, very important. The other reason, the differentiated reasons, though, that we win are the digital services that we provide to our customers. In particular, we have built content libraries of the products that we are selling, and we've enabled search engines that our core customers can use and basically use as the backbone of their offering to their customers. So if their customers want to do a search, they can come and search our content and search using search engines that we've enabled for them. We also provide to our customers help in trying to figure out how to grow their channels, their categories. So if some of our customers want to approach a big hospital network or a big government, a local government agency, we will provide them marketing and sales support in that effort. This is different than what we believe our chief competitor in the space does. And then the ease of doing business is largely the common platform. It's one order, one shipment, one invoice. So the business, fairly steady business if you look back in time, fairly steady from profitability standpoint, from a cash flow standpoint, and diversified, you know, about 45% of revenue outside of the office product space. We think on a collective basis, as we look at our opportunities to win in this space, that we have an ability at top line to grow faster than GDP. Our guidance for the year is about 1% to 5% top line revenue growth on an organic basis. The new management team, Bob joined about a year ago as CEO. I joined about 7 months ago as CFO. We are very focused on how do we grow the core business, how do we drive the 80% side of the business to better growth rates while also continuing to grow the industrial and the automotive side of the business. And we think that that is the best way for us to create long-term value. The business does generate strong cash flow. We would expect that we'll have cash flow in the range of net income or better than net income as we look at it. And as you think about the business over time, that's kind of the framework that I have in my head for what the business should be able to generate. And the history of the company is that we've spent a lot of money over the years returning money to shareholders either through dividends or stock buybacks. As noted on the slide, we've reduced our share count for the last 10 years by about 42% through buybacks. So very value-driven story in my view in terms of what's possible. So with that, I'd like to open it up for questions.
So I'll start off with the first question. Obviously, Staples and Office Depot's combination didn't happen. There was some potential opportunities for you in the large contract space with the acquisition of certain accounts. That hasn't happened. So where do you stand today in terms of increasing the company's exposure to large contract and building the capabilities that would allow larger dealers like WB Mason to actually sell to those large accounts, and how does that shape your future relative to the
you know, guidance that you've provided.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the question. Yeah, we are likewise a little disappointed that the Staples and Depot merger isn't going ahead, wasn't allowed. We had built over time and have already built a business in the enterprise space with our dealers to go after the large corporate accounts. We built that business up to $200 million. We will continue to invest in that and do expect it to continue to grow, and we'll push the investments in a bit of a different way than we would have had we been able to get the business we were going to acquire from Staples as part of the remedy situation. You know, that's a very promising space for us in terms of what we can go after, and our dealers are very motivated to join with us in thinking about how to win in that space. On a targeted basis, we've got plenty of examples of states and you know, large hospital networks, as an example I used earlier, in a space we can win. So that will be a continued effort on an organic basis. We don't probably have an inorganic alternative now that looks like the one we had with Staples and Depot.
Great. And then subsequent to that deal breaking, obviously, these companies had to come up with Plan B. I think Staples articulated their Plan B a little bit better than Office Depot, but part of that plan included hiring 1,000 salespeople to go after more of the mid-market business. That seems like it's probably both offensive and defensive, in the sense that defensive it's against Amazon and their moves, and then more offense against the dealer network, which is your bread and butter. So how do you feel about that announcement? Do you think that, you know, with the change in management, there's going to be follow through on that plan? And how do you protect your business from those changes?
Dan, that's we would agree that them hiring 1,000 salespeople is a threat to some of our dealers. I think our dealers are very focused on winning with service and relationship, and they've been successful over time doing that. They have been competing with our dealers have been competing with Staples and Depot for years. There's going to be a lot of turmoil in the market, I think, in the next couple of years as a result of the merger not going on and all the consequences of that. But our dealers, I think, are well positioned to continue to provide excellent service to their customers and have built the relationships over time. We want all of our customers to be successful, so I won't root against any of them, but we will do everything we can to enable them to be successful and to be enable them to give ultimate consumers a high level of service.
Any questions in the audience? Well, I'll deal with the next one. Amazon, opportunity or threat?
It's some of each. I am as concerned these days with Amazon about their general impact on pricing transparency. And so that's one of the things that I kind of look at, and it's been out there for a while, but our sense is it continues to escalate. And that's not really an Amazon thing. It's more where the technology is. But it makes it more difficult at some level to have quite the flexibility on pricing across your product set that we might have had in the past. I think that we can provide some great things to all the e-tailers that are in the space in terms of being able to provide a broad SKU set that the e-tailers come to us to get, and again, our delivery capabilities. And our ability to do it at the high quality that we have is good. Amazon is at this point we think our dealers with the service levels that they provide have a good differentiation versus what we think the current Amazon offer is. You know, if that changes over time, then that could be a different issue to address.
And then if we look at the industrial business, it's obviously been challenged with the exposure to the oil patch. Can you just go in a little more detail of how you will how you see that fitting into the bigger part of the puzzle here in the future, and given your focus on renewed focus, I think, under Bob on office products, and how you'll diversify that business?
Well, I think the industrial business, in spite of the fact that we took a goodwill write-off in the fourth quarter last year, the industrial business continues to be profitable for us, continues to be a good business in that sense. We've got revenue challenges in the business at the moment as we lap the oil field declines, but the team is now very focused on how do we take the existing product set and sell it to a broader set of customers. And the good thing from our perspective is the person that is leading that team is now leading the industrial business for us, led the development of our new channels business, led the development of the enterprise business effectively that we had in the organization over time. And so he's going to leverage some of that knowledge and some of that capability and in order to drive a diversified customer set into the industrial business. We are seeing some positive signs there. It's a little early yet. We will still see year-over-year declines in the near term in revenue just because of the oil field. But I think there's enough energy around it, enough opportunity around it, that it'll get back to a good growth business, by the end of the year. I think it'll be growing again.
And then on in terms of share gains in office products, you've won some pretty great accounts recently from your main competitor, accounts that have been your competitor for a long time. Maybe you can just give us a little bit more color on how you're able to do that, what has changed in the marketplace that would, have those accounts even think about moving after a long period at your competitor, which I believe is probably about a third of your size. Just maybe a little bit of color on what's changing in the marketplace, and is there more opportunity for share gains like that?
We were very pleased with the announcement of the wins we had in the first quarter, where we took three important accounts, two of which might have been in the top five in terms of the dealer network that our competitor had. We won those because of the common platform, because of our ability to help our dealers provide a broader array of products, as I said, one platform, so that was important. Our digital capabilities for those dealers, the investments we've made in the content, the investments we've made in the search platform were very important for these dealers as well based on what they said to us, and our willingness to help them grow, our willingness to help them go to market and say, well, how do you approach this government agency, how do you approach this hospital, how do you approach this school, how do you approach this business in a way that you can win, really differentiated us from our principal competitor, and so we were very pleased with those wins. And we think that is a model that we can continue to execute around, although an opportunity to do it at the scale of the success we had in the first quarter, there's a limit to how many customers there are of that size. So there's a limit to what we can do there, but at least from a winning standpoint, we can continue.
Now, the company over time has not sold direct to end users. When you look at the landscape and how it's changing, you have an independent dealer network that's consolidating. Granted, the weaker ones at the bottom are. You've got Staples going after that dealer more aggressively. You've got Amazon, as you pointed out, creating a lot of price transparency. So your business model needs to evolve too, and obviously you've had some diversification across businesses. But I'm just curious, as you look out over the next 5 years, do you see a point at which it makes sense to stand side by side and sell with the dealers and sell direct as some of that business gets peeled off? And what do you think the response would be? Would you threaten too much of the core business that it just doesn't make it worthwhile?
We've been very successful as a wholesaler in supporting our dealers and have a really symbiotic relationship with the dealers to helping them be successful. And that relationship might evolve in some ways with the dealers, but our expectation is we're going to continue to support the dealers to grow, and we think that we can, as we help them win in the marketplace, that we'll win in the marketplace as well. So we're going to be very focused on how do we help them continue to be successful. And the line for how much we help them in what way
ways, just as you know, in the enterprise space, where we're being more aggressive to help them more directly in winning new customers, we might move that line a bit. I expect that we're going to still be very focused on helping our dealers to grow.
Okay, well, we're coming up on the time here. I'll leave one more question if the audience has any. Okay, well, I think they'll wrap it up for us then.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks.